The first reading is a reading from the book of Kings. At the mountain of God, Horeb, Elijah came to a cave where he took shelter. Then the Lord said to him, "Go outside and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and the Lord will be passing by." A strong and heavy wind was rending the mountains and crushing rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there was a tiny whispering sound. When he heard this, Elijah hid his face in his cloak and went and stood at the entrance of the cave. The word of the Lord. Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation. Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God proclaims. The Lord, for he proclaims peace. Near indeed is his salvation to those who fear him. Glory dwelling in our land. Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation. Kindness and truth shall meet, justice and peace shall kiss. Truth shall spring out of the earth and justice look down from heaven. Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation. The Lord himself will give his benefits. Our land shall yield its increase. Justice shall walk before him and prepare the way of his steps. Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation. The second reading is a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, I speak the truth. I do not lie. My conscience joins with the Holy Spirit in bearing me witness that I have great sorrow and constant anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are the Israelites. There is the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. There is the patriarchs, and from them according to the flesh is the Christ, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. The word of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, may our Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came forward toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said. And they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him and replied, "Lord, if it's you, then command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. And when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. And how are you? Last week, if you remember, I was a little excited about when I was preaching. And so one woman sat there and says, "Now, Father," on my YouTube thing. You know, people make comments. I read them. I never respond to them. So I didn't get in trouble normally. And I never respond to them by definition. But anyway, she says, "Father, please, no screaming during Mass. Thank you." Now, you know what I would respond to her? "I'm still going to scream when it comes." It just looks, when I used to walk back and forth, you wouldn't see me as screaming as so much. But when I'm up here and I'm pounding a podium and the whole thing starts to shake, it looks really bad. But we need to sit there. Today the homily is going to be a renewal or refresher course, if you will. We're going to take and review the last couple weeks that I've been speaking and renew something that I've told you to do, and I'm sure everyone here in my parish has already done it. The rest of you will learn. But again, as we look at the readings, I could preach, and I have preached, for at least an hour on each of these readings. What do I preach on? We'll preach on everything. So be seated and have the next 45 minutes. But what we're going to do is we're going to focus on each reading and what it says about living today, right? So we need to be people, of course, that we talked about last week, be people of prayer. Because that prayer is where we listen to God and where we focus on God. And that's so important. So here in the Old Testament, when we get to the book of Kings, you see Elijah is told by God, "I want to speak to you. Go get ready." So in our own prayer, we got to be aware that God wants to speak to us. You see, prayer, again, as we talked about last week, is God doing the talking, us doing the listening. Not going before God and saying, "Shut up, God, these are the things I want you to do for me today." So he says, "I want you to go, and I'm going to speak to you." And so he went, and he was waiting for the Lord. In prayer, we got to wait for the Lord. And it's so important that we listen to the Lord while we're in prayer. Huh? That's what we do. And so here he goes. He's waiting for the Lord. And a strong wind comes. Nope, God's not in the wind. And then there was a fire. Nope, God isn't in the fire. And then there was an earthquake. It's really the earthquake. And then the fire. And God wasn't in the earthquake either. And then there was a gentle breeze. And he hid his face. And he could now listen to God. In our prayer, we need to listen to God. And then in our prayer, we go to the gospel, and it's a famous gospel, and there's the middle of a storm, and we're all in storms of our daily lives, the storm of the pandemic right now, the storm of all the people rioting, the storm for all this, what we're going to do. There's fear everywhere. What am I going to do at my job? Am I going to have a job? What's going to happen next year? Are we ever going to get back on the road again? Fear. And so the first thing Jesus says to us in our prayer is when we go and are with him, the miracle of God meeting us in prayer is, "I'm here. Don't be afraid." So when you go and pray, it's God sitting there reminding you, if you listen, "I'm here. Don't be afraid." We can be very afraid if we're not focused on Jesus. That's why, again, sometimes when we go to pray, we come out of our prayer just as afraid. Why? Because our whole prayer was focused on our fears. Our whole prayer was focused on what's going on around us. And remember, Peter, he said, "Come on, I want to have this experience with you. I want to walk on water too. I want to experience a miracle." And Jesus says, "Come." And he's all excited. And again, as we know, as long as Peter is looking at Jesus, he can walk on water. As soon as he looks at the storm, today, the storm. As soon as we look at the storm, he gets fearful and he starts to fall. As soon as he looks at the past, he gets fearful. It's safer in the boat. As soon as he looks at himself, he gets fearful. I can't walk on water. Only when he cries out to Jesus and puts everything back into perspective, "Jesus, save me," does he get pulled up. In our prayer, it got to be that when we're listening, then we're focusing on Jesus, not ourselves, not our past, not our storms, but Jesus. And we cry out to him, "You save me, Lord. It is I am here. Be not afraid." And then, so in our prayer is something we're doing every day. But then how are we living our life? Again, it influences our prayer, influences the way we live. And so we can find that out in the second reading. Again, I just talked about this too in the last couple of weeks. This is review. In Romans chapter 9, he says, again, this is how Paul was living. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people. Again, I pulled this out in the scripture a couple weeks ago, and I read it to you, and I said, so what are we going to be doing? Again, what Paul is doing to give us an example is that he lives a life for the salvation of others. Even so far that he would say that I would wish myself to be cursed and cut off from Christ if someone else, my people, could be saved. So again, the question you have to ask yourself, and I got to ask myself, would I be willing to go to hell to save somebody else? And of course, the first thought is no. But the second thought should be, well, sure, if that's what God wants me to do. And then, of course, we wouldn't go to hell because we learned what God has taught us. We live lives for others. That every day, and again, we can't sit there and say, oh yeah, Father, I'd be willing to go to hell for someone else to go to heaven. I'm going there anyway. But the reality is, we got to show that by the way we're living every day. Am I living for the salvation of others? That means, do I pray for others? Do they get saved? Do I pray for my enemies who hate my guts? Do they get saved? Do I fast for others and sometime during the week that others get saved? Or is all my prayer about me and getting courage and getting strength? Or is my prayer about saving others also? Because Paul, that's the way Paul's teaching us how to live. And again, to take these two things, we can make this reminder, the gentle reminder or not so gentle, is like here, everyone in this parish who belongs to this parish and have been with me now for 19 years and are going to be with me now every day to the end of the year. Whoa. If I come to your house and I say, hey, I'm going to come to your house after this very, today I need to go to get some lunch, so I'm coming to your house, how about that? And you'd say, okay, Father. I'm sure you'd say, okay, Father. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask. But if I was, and then I came over there, and as soon as I got over there, I had to use your bathroom because some people think I'm full of it. So the first thing I'd have to do is go to the bathroom. Zoom. Anyway, the first thing I should see on every single person's mirror who belongs to this parish is three words. And what are the three words I will find on your mirror? I am third. Very good. And I'm sure it's all there. Because you've been hearing this from me for 19 years. It's like, oh, I know, Father. But it's a practical thing. So that every night when you and I go to bed, we brush our teeth and we're looking in that mirror. That's why I don't put it in the guest room mirror to show everybody, yeah, I did that. I don't belong to Father Larry's parish. It's in your bathroom where you use every day. And you're brushing your teeth. And you see, I am third, which means God is first. Others are second. I am last. God is first. I pray every day. I listen to him and I keep my eyes focused on Jesus. Others are second. I pray and fast for other people to be saved. I am last. I am here to be a servant. That's why God created me, to serve others. And so when you and I are brushing our teeth and we sit there and we're going through that and we think, did I at least commit one unselfish act today for God and others? And if the answer is no, we wasted our day in Christ. So we got to make the resolution, I'll do better tomorrow. God, you'll be first. Others will be second. I will be last. That's the way of the Christian. And if you're living that life every day, you don't have to worry about if he calls you home today. You're doing his will. That's what he wants. You can go home forever because you learned how to love God first, others second, and you're a servant. So let's do it. Got it?
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah.
Gonna do it?
Yeah.
May each of you know his love today and forever. Amen.